So while we're loading, I'd like to acknowledge the PIs of this project, Matt Roark, assistant professor in the Department of Soil Science, and Kevin Shelley in the Nutrient and Pest Management Program. So to jump right in, our study objectives, we wanted to evaluate winter rye both as a cover crop and also as a forage option in a continuous corn silage system. We wanted to optimize nitrogen rate for corn silage following rye, and we wanted to quantify total forage production in a rylage corn silage double crop system. So why are we talking about winter rye? In the upper Midwest, it's a very popular cover crop as it can extend the growing season well into a cool fall into the winter. It'll be dormant and then continue to grow in the spring. So this is a good option after an early harvested crop such as corn silage. The rye does a good job of immobilizing nitrate in the soil profile that might otherwise be susceptible to leaching. And you get those good general cover crop benefits of preventing soil erosion, suppressing weeds. And as we're going to see, we have the potential to then add a diverse forage option. So our study was continuous corn silage. It was the same plots for 3 years. We applied liquid dairy manure in the fall at rates somewhere around 25 or 30,000 gallons per hectare, which, assuming about 40% availability of nitrogen, that gave us somewhere 70 to 120 kilograms available nitrogen in the first year of application. This was minimal or no-till, depending on field conditions, so the liquid dairy manure was either injected or it was surface applied and immediately incorporated. And our soil was a Plano silt loam, which is a typic argeudol. The extent of which of argeudol is shown in this map of the upper Midwest in yellow, and our arrow is pointing at the Arlington Agricultural Research Station just north of Madison, where this study took place. So our study was a randomized complete block split plot design, and the whole plot treatment was fall planted winter rye, so regardless of whether it was for a cover crop or for forage, it was planted at the same rate and it was the same variety of rye. The only thing that differed was spring management. And in addition to the two rye treatments, we also had a no cover crop treatment. So the picture here is actually taken after the time at which the rye's cover crop was terminated. So that's on the left. Termination was with standard burn down rate of glyphosate. And then on the right, you have the rylage treatment, which is left to grow for an additional 3 or 4 weeks before harvest. Our split plot treatment was a spring application of nitrogen to corn silage. So in this area, the recommended nitrogen rate would be 185 kilograms of N. So after we take out our assumed or estimated manure credit, that left us with a recommended fertilizer N rate of 112 kilograms. So we use that end rate, and then we also had one lower and one higher to attempt to capture any sort of interaction that you might have between the manure treatment and the rye. So we'll touch on weather a bit. Just to walk you through these graphs, the top one is mean monthly temperature deviation from the 30-year normal. So above the line is higher than normal, below it would be lower than normal, and then the lower graph is precipitation. Our x-axis goes from October until the following September, so October being about when the rye was planted, and then through September when corn silage was then harvested. So in our first study year, 2011-2012 in red, we had above normal temperatures in the fall, winter, into the spring, so this was really ideal for the rye. And then we did have drought conditions in the summer, which was not so great for corn silage. Our second study year is shown in yellow. We had a cool and rainy spring into an early summer, so not quite as ideal for the rye growth. Similar to 2013-2014, we had an extremely cold, long winter that extended well into spring, so this was not ideal for rye growth. So to look, shift over to some results, this is our above ground biomass of the rye as cover crop. So 2012, was a really ideal year. It had accumulated above ground nitrogen around 130 kilograms, so that well exceeds our estimated available manure nitrogen credit. in the following 2 years, the cover crop growth was not nearly as much, and nitrogen accumulation was only around 12 kilograms in each year. Shifting over to our rylage above ground biomass, so these were this was rye that was harvested of 3 or 4 weeks after the rye cover crop was terminated. So 2012, it was still a great year for the rye, but you can see that the extra just 3 or 4 weeks of growth really got the rye going in 2013 and 14 to where we had pretty good yields and higher nitrogen accumulation, around 70 or 80 kilograms. So what sort of an effect does this have on our soil nitrate? So this graph is showing at two depths, 0 to 30 and 30 to 60 in parts per million of soil nitrate. So focusing on the difference between the no cover crop and cover crop treatments in 2012 and 14, you can see that we've got a pretty significant drawdown of the soil nitrate. We didn't see that in 2013 for whatever reasons you might conjure. The rye as forage treatment, though, across the board had much lower soil nitrate, particularly in that lower foot. So that might, you know, the next thing you want to ask is, what is that potentially doing to our yield? Are we reducing our yield due to these treatments? So here we have 2012 corn silage yield. This is adjusted to 65% moisture. We did have a significant effect of cover crop, in which the corn silage yield in the rylage treatment was about 30% lower than in the other two treatments, the no cover crop and the rye as cover crop, which were statistically similar. So we didn't take a yield hit with the rye cover crop, only with the rylage forage harvest. However, if you consider, after you adjust the rylage harvest to a 65% moisture, and add that back in, so the rylage harvest was about 29 megagrams per hectare. So that would shift effectively that kind of orangish pinkish line up to where the purple line is, and that's what your total forage is, corn silage added to the rylage harvest. So you actually increase your total forage yield in that with that treatment. So looking at 2013, we did not see an effect of cover crop affecting the corn silage yield in that year. But we did have a slight nitrogen rate effect in which the 112 and 179 nitrogen rates yielded similarly, but both were higher than the 67 kilograms of N per hectare. That was maybe about 8% increase in yield. So again, we'll add in our rylage harvest, which in this year was about 14.5 megagrams per hectare. And there again, we have an increased total forage harvest over that of the treatments without the rylage. Looking at 2014, it's more similar yields to 20, or a similar trend. The overall yield in 2012 was much lower. But we're back to the trend where we have decreased corn silage yield in the rylage treatment. This year it was about 15% lower, and there again the no cover crop and the rye cover crop treatments yielded similarly with corn silage with no effective end rate. So again, we'll add in our rylage yield, and that brings our total forage corn silage plus rylage up to right around where the other treatments were. So just to be sure that that it's kind of okay to be adding together our corn silage and our rylage, we've got some forage quality indicators here. So the first one I'll draw your attention to is crude protein, which is higher in the rylage. It's about 20% crude protein dry matter versus 9. So that's a good thing. Looking at digestibility, ADF and NDF are both higher in the rylage as compared to corn silage, which actually means that it is less digestible and that the animal will eat less of it, so that's a bad thing. But kind of these things seem to wash each other out when you look at total digestible nutrients, net energy for lactation, and your milk production. It's about the same between the rylage and the corn silage, are actually even better in the rylage. Seems that we have some time to talk about nitrogen balance. So just as a reminder, nitrogen balance is our, you add up all your inputs, what you've put into the system, subtract off what you have harvested off out of the system. If you have a positive nitrogen balance, that means that you've added more to it than what you've taken off. And theoretically, there might be some nitrate hanging around in the soil that might be susceptible to leaching. If you have a negative nitrogen balance, then you have harvested more than you've added, which might mean you're robbing the soil bank a little bit, but there's a couple different ways you can look at that. So for this study, our inputs were our available nitrogen from the manure, plus the starter, which was like 6 kilograms or something pretty negligible, and then our different side dress end rates of ammonium nitrate. And then our removal was the corn silage, the end content in the corn silage, and in the rylage for that treatment. So the numbers kind of jump around quite a bit, but the general trend is that the rye cover crop compared to no cover crop, you're going to draw your reducing your end balance to some degree, and then this is more prominent in the rye as forage, that you're really reducing it. But it really kind of shifts around by year. Obviously, it's 2014 where we have a strongly negative nitrogen balance across all treatments, sort of stands out. So to look at some of our conclusions, winter rye as a cover crop did not affect our corn silage yield. It did, however, decrease soil nitrate, so that has positive implications for water quality, that we have less nitrate in the soil that might leach. Winter rye as a forage crop clearly decreased the nitrogen balance, so we're back to good implications for water quality with the decreased soil nitrate. However, it might decrease your corn silage yield. But in all 3 years of this study, our total forage production was equal or above that of corn silage alone. And then our last conclusion might be that neither the rye as cover crop or as forage affected our optimal nitrogen rate in any study year. So there was no interaction between our ammonium nitrate nitrogen rate and the rye treatment. So with that, take any questions.
Questions for our speaker?
Did you have any way of separating out the effects of the allelopathic effects of the rye versus the water removals from the rye?
Yeah, we could. I guess we could have measured soil moisture, and in the context of the Oklahoma and the Texas data that we saw, it would probably just look like bragging. But no, we didn't necessarily look at the allelopathy there. I don't know if that has answered your question.
Have you done any of this with any other cereals, with kale, or maybe even other grasses, rye grass?
We're actually just planted this fall an extended study with 5 different sites all over Wisconsin, different soil types, with triticale barley, annual ryegrass, and winter rye. So it won't have the forage. Well, it will have the forage component for the triticale, not for the cereal rye. I think this study at this plot is continuing, but so we have expanded upon that idea.
In the interest of time, let's cut it off right there and thank our speaker.